Hello everyone, welcome at the CEZ first half conference call. We have Mr. Peter Bogosil, CFO, with us as usually, and as usually Mr. Jan Svoboda as well. I'm sure there will be plenty of questions regarding the option for sale of electricity aimed at Mr. Svoboda, so please don't hesitate to ask as many of those as you can. I guess we would better start right now, and I will pass the words to Mr. Peter Bogosil, who will take you through the financial highlights.
Good afternoon or good morning, everyone. I will start with page two of our presentation. EBITDA increased year-by-year by 24% to 34.2 billion. EBIT by 32% to 23.2 billion Czech koruna, and net income by almost 41% to 16.4 billion for first half year of 2006. After share price fall in May and June, we are again back on 800 koruna in this moment. We increased guidance of EBITDA for whole year 2006 to 61.3 billion. On EBIT level, it's 38.4 billion, and net profit we expect for whole year by 28 billion Czech koruna. Net income for first half increased mainly thanks to gross margin from generation and trading, which is driven by electricity sales. It's net sales minus purchased electricity, which represents 8.1 billion year-by-year. Heat sales and other income, 1 billion, and minus fuel, which was used for higher generation of electricity. It means that gross margin increased internally by 8.8 billion, corrected by other operating costs, excluding depreciation. It's mainly material, maintenance, and personnel and services. Depreciation represents additional 0.9 billion Czech koruna, which are weighted almost by other operating income and cost, especially foreign exchange gains. Czech state will be lucky for 1.7 billion increase income tax. On page four of presentation, you have presented gross margin as a result of operating revenues on the level of 77.2 billion. The opposite are variable operating expenses, 29.4 billion. As a result, is gross margin on the level of 47.8 billion. Main improvements are increase of generation, especially from nuclear power plants, increased by almost 14%. On the other hand, optimization of generation from coal power plants and utilization of CO2 allowances arbitrage decreased generation on coal power plants represents 3.5% internally, and increase of sold electricity to end customers both in Czech Republic and abroad. It means in Bulgaria and especially in Romania, because Oltenia is added to our half-year results first time. Operating expenses, excluding impact of new companies, increased only by 4.7 billion Czech koruna and allowed EBITDA on the level of 34.2 billion Czech koruna. In this represents 984 million impact of new companies welcome to CES group, and 33.2 billion ongoing business of previous CES group. It means that we have control of repairs and maintenance cost growth, and we decrease of number of employees, excluding new companies, by 710 people. Net income grow by 41% to 16 billion, increased by 4.7 billion interannually, thanks to relatively positive development of Czech crown appreciation, especially towards the US dollar, but also to towards euro. Final result of foreign exchange profit and loss and derivative operation is only 18, is positive 18 million Czech koruna. We expect EBITDA for full 2006 on the level of 61 billion Czech korunas and EBIT on 38 billion Czech korunas, improved our expectation published in May. Growing trend of gross margin and operating cost savings will continue in second half, and CES Group is growing by new power plants in Poland, also and Skawina, which will contribute to expected consolidated EBIT by 0.6 billion Czech koruna. 2006 net income guidance is 28 billion Czech koruna, by 0.8 more compared to guidance from first quarter, mainly thanks to savings in services, repairs and maintenance, and salaries and wages. On to page 9 of presentation, you have division to different segments, segmentation of our results. What is important part, the generation represented 66% of EBITDA, distribution and sales represent 25-26%, and mining and other activities rest. Newly, it also includes Polish power plants out of Skawina, which however are part of the first half result only this 1 month. In July, to contribute by 112 million Czech koruna. We can see a growing trend in distribution and sales thanks to Bulgarian and newly also Romanian distribution development. Distribution and sales segment result is on page 10. You have division to different region. Most important is still Czech Republic, represented 76% of total revenues. Similar position is on the EBITDA and EBIT level. Main improvements compared to last year, higher electricity sales to end customers in Bulgaria, activities initiated in Romanian distribution company Oltenia, maintaining supply volume in Czech Republic, and cost savings and lowering discounts in the segment on comparable basis by 847. Asset, equity and liabilities overview is on page 11. You can see growing fixed assets, investment and nuclear fuel. Uh, influenced by consolidation of ELCO and Stalina. The same drivers are for other non-current assets, and especially in current assets, 8.3 billion cash and cash equivalent is prepared for coming acquisition. Varna, for example, and 4 billion receivables, namely due to tax receivables and fees out of Sovereign Mining Company. On the liability side, equity increased mainly by current period profits. Long-term liabilities, excluding provisions, increased due to acquisition of Polish power plants with their debt, and short-term liabilities by dividends prepared for payment, short-term debt, short-term loans, and payables on derivatives. Operating cash flow increased by 37% to 25.6 billion Czech koruna, mainly thanks to operating profit adjusted for non-cash items and 1.4 billion repayment of income tax from 2005. In the end of July, we had long-term indebtedness on the level of 14.3%, total 32.5%, and our expectation for full year 2005 is 15.4% and 30% roughly, including 31% roughly, including the Polish development newly acquired to proceed. Thank you for your attention.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is Alan Svoboda. I'll wrap up the initial talk on our side by highlighting a few things on the market side. You all know that wholesale power prices have been going up steadily over the last few years, including the last half a year. It's driven by high oil prices, CO2 market that again has a relevant price of CO2 credit, and lately also by increasing squeeze between supply and demand, especially at some periods of the year that we experienced a couple of times over the last half a year. That is not a surprise that CEZ is reacting to this trend by providing additional volume of power to the market. You see on page 19 that we increased our overall production year on year by 3%. So we are now getting close to the historical high levels of production of the year 2003. We have also improved the mix of our generation, putting more weight on nuclear. That's mainly driven by better availability of the Temelín power plants, and proves that the focused effort of last year has so far paid off in more volume produced in our nukes. You're also lucky to get more water and therefore produce more from renewables and to some degree from biomass. So altogether, this is a 3% increase driven by increased supply to local sales companies delivering power to local customers, and also higher demand in neighboring countries, especially in Slovakia. This is not a one-off thing. We see strong demand to continue into the future. Even the more conservative scenarios predict that it will grow at least 2% year-on-year, even though the last half a year figures show that the actual nominal figure was 4%, and adjusted for weather, it was still a healthy 3.3% growth. So this means that demand will be strong and will drive increased interest of traders into buying power in the wholesale market. On top of these things, we have to highlight additional structural change in the market. As you know, Czech Republic is one of the few countries where cross-border capacities are traded at all borders in auctions. And lately, we were successful in arguing with the regulators of Czech Republic and Austria that a blocking long-term contract of 400 megawatts going from Poland to Austria should be cancelled before its expiration date, and this capacity should be put into the auctions, giving fair access to all traders on the market. This will not change the overall balance of import and export into and from the country, but would give better chance to the bidders in the auctions to win, and will therefore make the market even more transparent. There is another contract, 200 megawatts, between Czech Republic and Germany, which was supposed to be a reserve power contract between the grids, but since it's used for commercial purposes on the German side, it is also violating European law, and it's going to be subject of investigation, and I suppose premature cancellation as well. If that happens, then we can claim that the cross-border capacity market is not only fully auction-based, but also full capacity is offered in the auction. Also, trends on the CO2 side, Czech Republic will be soon submitting the NAP2 to the EU. In preparation for that, we have proven to both the Minister of Environment and the whole government of Czech Republic that we have taken that system very seriously. We have acted in the economic interest of Czech, obviously, but fully in line with the environmental objectives of the system, and the result of that, we were able to save 7% year-on-year of CO2 credits by measures taken on the trading side, plant maintenance side, and also measuring and management commitment type of actions. So these are all short-term measures that we finance from the savings of CO2, and we have obviously some additional benefits on top from the savings. Going forward, we expect that EU will adjust the total allocation within EU to make the system structurally short, because the first period seems to be not to be short enough to send the right incentives. But this should be done in sectors like steel, cement, and other, where one, they have been over-allocated, and two, they don't have many of the short-term measures as the energy sector has. So therefore, for them, the system is more like use it or lose it system, whereas for the energy sector, it's this cap and trade system, and if the incentives stay in place, the energy sector will deliver additional improvements in emissions. We have committed to this system not only short term but also long term, which you see on page 25, and that long term commitment resulted in a significant acceleration of our investments in renewable or lignite capacity, and also a total increase in the budget. We have decided to upgrade our plans in the shortest possible time and adopt the most efficient technologies available in the market, leading to up to 30% improvement in efficiency, saving on the fuel, and most importantly, saving on the CO2. These projects will actually be financed from credits that we save, from the market value of the credits we save in these projects. So again, it's a good example of a strong combination of environmentally positive results with economic incentives that drive business decisions like that. These are things that are very necessary to the Central European market, because the supply-demand development, as you see on next page, page 28, is documenting that already by 2009 there will be opportunity for more exports. to the neighboring market than the reserve capacity available on the market. So if we speed up with the investments, we will have a very good portfolio in place. And if we add additional capacities on top in hard coal gas or even nuclear, we will then benefit from additional generation opportunities starting the year 2009 or 10. In the meantime, what this means is that Czech power prices will probably by then converge to German power prices, because if the cross-border capacity is not a bottleneck, then it should not command any significant price, and the arbitrage of traders between two borders will result in one power price prevailing on the whole market. Big steps towards that conversion will happen already next year, because as you see on page 29, the balance of supply and demand will change significantly, driven both by strong demand growth in Czech Republic and Slovakia, but also driven by significant shutdowns in capacity, especially in Slovakia, where the nuclear plant Bohunice, first block, is shut down, and a couple blocks in the old coal-fired power plants of Poljany and Novaky. So that 8 terawatt-hours alone is a big gap to be covered only by additional production from very extensive units used, mainly as system service units in the grid, or by cutting on exports and therefore bringing prices quite together. This had a very significant impact on the structure of Czech exports. Instead of focusing on the German market, we are now much more focusing on the eastern markets of Slovakia and Hungary. We expect that 2/3 of our exports will end up in this region, driven by the fact that Slovakia is turning from an export country to an import country, and driven by the fact that these contracts can be signed already today without fear of any complication on the cross-border capacity, whereas contracting to Germany means we have to wait till November to get the cross-border capacity. So by now we actually contract a large share of our production eastern direction and have locked in very, very attractive prices. These prices you see on the next page, which is a map of the deals and auctions organized in the markets of Central Europe. On the Czech Republic, you see also the results of the virtual plant auction, which resulted in a price of 42.8 euros per megawatt hour of baseload delivery of next year. This is, by the way, the very same price that was auctioned in Slovakia a few weeks before in an auction organized by Slovenské. So again, another proof that these two markets are very well interlinked, and the market forces generate very robust and transparent price signals. To document that, we decided to disclose also the whole structure of the bid in our virtual power plant auction. You see that on page 32. And you see clearly that all the bids, except for very few ones towards the very end, are very competitive. In fact, we had to, you know, magnify the picture to see the differences, so it doesn't start with zero on the y-axis, but starts with thousands to see really the spread across the full scale. And interesting, if you take 80% of the bids, even though we were able to accept only 20%, even if we would take the whole 80%, it would still result in a 15% price increase instead of the 17.1 if we take the first 8 bids subject of the rule. So this shows very competitive bidding, very consistent pricing, and that was another reason why we decided that going forward we will stick to the market-based mechanism of selling power. And instead of selling power in the old way, that is setting price on our side and letting the bidders to say their volume, we have sticked to the auction, like the virtual power plant auction, and let the market again set the price. On the next page, 33, you see the rules of this newly announced auction. What will go into the auction are two components. First of all is baseload, 500 megawatts, and we estimated that this is, with some reserve, the volume needed to satisfy the demand of the local traders that supply the local customers. Both in combination with production of independent power producers, imports from neighboring countries, and previous auctions of CHESS, adding all this volume together basically is the volume needed to supply the local market. I'm excluding CHESS sales units, which will get power from CHESS, but it will get it outside of the auction under the exact same conditions as auction. That is, getting some kind of a weighted average of all the auction results to make sure that they don't have an influence over the auction, and that they have exactly the same conditions in sourcing on the market as all the other competing suppliers. Apart from this 500 megawatts, which will auction similar to Victor Portland auction, we will also auction the seasonal products. These are the peaks, the weekdays, and et cetera. These are products useful only to the local market, so there is not a real robust market for it. And therefore, here we decided to, for the time being, stick to the traditional way of providing these products to the market. That is to determine their price derived from base load with a spread given by relations from previous years and also by relations that you can observe on the neighboring markets like EX. And we will therefore offer all these products and let the bidders to say what volume they want for these prices, keeping on our side the ability to cut down the volume if you cannot supply the total demand, or adjust down the price if for some reason the demand mix lowers our cost of production. What's important is that this 500 megawatts is a real auction. It's a significant volume, so it should not, it doesn't serve only as a price signal. It is the real volume traded, and we have improved the rules based on feedback from traders over the virtual plant auction in multiple ways. One is it will be marginal price rather than the real price offered. That will be valid. It will be without any cash payment upfront as a deposit. It will be by 1 megawatt set rather than 50. And companies that have signed EFET contracts with us will be able to source this power based on EFET contracts, which is the industry standard. So all that should improve access of the traders to this auction and will care for their needs. So I believe that this is a strong commitment of CHESS to market-based mechanism of selling power and development of a forward market on the Czech Republic, and hopefully this will serve as a basis for also improved liquidity of the short-term market throughout the year. Thank you very much.
Okay, then we are ready to take questions now.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to register for a question, please press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. To cancel the question, please press the hash or the pound key. Once again, to register for a question, please press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. The first question will come from Tibor Bokor. Please go ahead, announcing your company name and location.
Good afternoon, this is Tibor Bokor, Wood & Company Prague. Congratulations on the results. I have one question regarding the second quarter results. I have noticed 1.9 terawatt hours lower production from the coal power plant. And my question is if this was compensated by CO2 credit sales, or if this is something that we should see in the results later in the year. Thank you very much.
First of all, we had a big unit in maintenance for last part of first half of the year, which is Mielnik. So there were some objective reasons why we produced less from coal. The availability of these plants was lower compared to previous year. And at the same time, this was more than offset by production from nukes and renewables. So we are actually quite happy with the results. Obviously, if the full coal portfolio would be available, we might produce a little extra. But because of the arbitrage, I don't expect it to be much, much more than what we have seen on the figures.
So can I understand that the sale of CO2 credits that you have saved was already booked in the results of first half, right?
No, the CO2 credits is a bit different because those are usually sold on forward basis.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't see the monetary value of these credits in quarterly results. You will see them only at the year-end results.
Mm-hmm. So is it fair to say that there will be some compensation for this event, and we should expect that in third or fourth quarter?
Not until the end of the year, because when these credits are sold on a forward basis, the settlement doesn't happen until November. So it only influences the full year results.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that perfectly answers the question.
I think it is accounted as a forward transaction, so it's marked to market, but it's not shown as a net revenue and profit.
Thank you very much.
The next question will come from Małgosia Surigowska, UBS in London. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Małgosia Surigowska. I've got a few questions. Can you please tell us why your salaries and wages have increased significantly whilst the number of reported personnel has gone down, please? Also, you mentioned that you are expecting that power price convergence will happen by roughly 2009. Would you mind telling us what level you're assuming that will happen to in terms of German prices, and how you see the cross-border fees going forward for both Germany and Slovakia? Lastly, could you please tell us also what is the competitive given the fact that the VPP auction has such a good demand, why the competitive component of the wholesale power auction is only 500 megawatts? Were you thinking of increasing that further going forward? And how do you see what mechanism do you see that you will use going forward over the next few years in terms of selling volumes? Thank you.
I am going to give you answer for first part of your question, growing wages and salaries partially due to companies coming to CEZ Group, but your question was focused on the growth of salaries in CEZ Group as well. Increasing wages year by year by 5% in the average. It's first reason. Second reason is motivation of our employees. We pay them because our results for 2005, 2006 expectation are significantly better than budgeted. Employees are motivated, and part of this improvement is sent to them as a bonus.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll take the rest of your questions. First, German prices. This is a crystal ball question, but we work with a scenario where we expect oil to be around $45, fuel to around 25 euros, and no squeeze on supply demand. That results in our model in a price of around 50 euros per megawatt hour. So that's, let's say, our base case scenario. Obviously, for a few years, we could see German market to trade above that threshold because either oil billing being still high or because there will still be shortage of supply. So you can take a scenario of 50 to 60, and within that range, it's very likely that we will kind of join the German prices.
And you expect
Go ahead.
I was going to say you expect that by 2009.
That's right.
Okay.
Let's say on an annual basis, there might still be some little charge for the cross-border capacity because it will not be available all hours of the year without any bottleneck, but for most part of the year it will already be available in a higher demand and in a higher volume than demanded. So on average, the cross-border capacity should command some price of, I don't know, 2-3 euros. So that's the type of gap that I would guess would prevail between the two markets on annual basis. With regard to the 500 megawatts, as I said, this is the volume needed to supply the local markets. You wanted to make sure that all the local suppliers get access to power in an auction type of arrangement. We don't want to sell on forward basis all our production at this point, so we will kind of wait with the additional sales until later in the year. And also we will consider also bilateral contracts since we kind of fulfill the obligation to provide the power needed to the local market. This is also driven by the fact that towards the east, to Slovakia and Hungary, we have already committed large volume of sales in the auctions they have organized and in bilateral deals driven by the price levels cleared on those markets. So we have sold enough to kind of be in line with our policy on forward sales, and we will keep the rest for later. Going forward, we definitely want to stick to the market-based mechanism of auctioning power. That's definitely true for baseload. And I hope that the market will become more robust also for the seasonal product, so that eventually we can move to a full-fledged auction of the seasonal product as well. For the time being, I can say that we will continue the base load or those products that we see have demand and have therefore sufficient markets out there. When the markets converge, then I guess the full spectrum of products will be offered on a wholesale basis, on a transparent market basis, because the market will be linked and there will be one price prevailing for all. One last thing to clarify on the CO2 question that Mr. Bokor had previously. We should mention that you see in the figures that we have saved about 7% of CO2, whereas in our books of last year we recorded only 1 billion Czech crowns revenues, which doesn't reconcile. So we have actually sold less CO2 than what we saved. This means you should expect also additional revenues from that. One thing. Second thing is we don't run a big open position going forward. We have closed a large part of it already in the beginning of the year when prices were still quite high, and we have corrected the position in the last few weeks to sort of avoid being exposed to an increased volatility of CO2 prices towards the end of the period.
Does that answer all your questions?
Yes, if I can just ask one follow-up question, please. You mentioned that you significantly contracted to Slovakia already. Could you tell us how much that is and roughly whether it's at the top or the bottom end of the price range that's mentioned in your presentation, please? Thank you.
I don't want to disclose the volume for the time being since the contracting is underway, but it's I expect that the total volume that we sell to Slovakia and Hungary by the end of the year will be actually two-thirds of our export, which we expect to be again around 14 terawatt hours. So you can deduct that it's around 9 terawatt hours total. Prices copy the market development. We started with lower prices, lower volumes. The large chunks were sold lately, so we on average got a better price in our portfolio than a pure sort of average of the market.
Okay, thank you.
Next question will come from Roland Pfeffer. Please go ahead, sir, announcing your company name and location.
Good afternoon, it's Roland from Edgerton. We heard news from the Slovak Republic that the new government wants to limit prices for power. could you maybe comment what you think the Galloping can actually do and how it could also impact the demand and supply and demand in the entire region? And the second question, on the mining business, it was a lot weaker in the second half than in the first quarter. What should we expect for the full year? More in line with growth numbers of the first quarter or more down as in the first half? Thank you.
Okay, quickly on power prices, I actually did not get that message from the Slovak market. What I read was that they expect to cap the gas prices. And that's something also the Czech anti-monopoly office has to some degree done on the Czech market, kind of stepping into the process, claiming the market has not sufficiently opened up and therefore does not send transparent price signals, which I tend to agree with. However, this is not the case for the power market, which on the other hand is one of the most liberalized markets, especially in the regional Central Europe, and the price signals that it is generating are very logical, very robust, so I don't expect that anybody would be stepping in either on the Slovak or Czech side.
According to your question to mining business, in the first half of this year it was influenced by provisioning to liabilities related to mining operation. It was only one step. It was a question for first half of the year. In the second half it will be not repeated, but on the other hand this provision will be used for revenues. It means we can expect improvement of the mining results.
Okay, so we should have an increase of the full year numbers versus the previous year. That's what we should expect. This is what I...
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, the next question I guess.
Next question will come from Matija Jarzolec, Goldman Sachs in London. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, good afternoon. I have four questions. First one is on the numbers. Actually, following up from the mining business, which showed a drop in the second quarter, I think I noticed that also the distribution in Czech Republic showed a significant drop in EBITDA in the second quarter after being up like 15% in the first quarter. Could you elaborate on what are the reasons for that and hopefully also guide a little bit for the rest of the year? Second question is on CO2. So I'd like to know what benefit have you booked for CO2 emissions in this first half. I see a number of 367 million euro negative cost. Is that all the benefit that you have booked? And the second part of this question would be, I would estimate that in the first half you were probably long 2 million tons of CO2 between allocations and actual emissions. Does it actually mean then that we need to basically to really understand your truly underlying numbers add the benefit of this 2 million tons of CO2 to your numbers, or how much is it? Thirdly, just a question on actually after the end of the quarter, I would be interested to know whether you have been able to benefit from the spike in European power prices in July. And just last question is also some comment on some statements that this time coming from the Czech Republic. I think we've read that Czech ministers have been advocating that the retail prices for next year should rise less than this year. If you can elaborate on this. Thank you.
According to your question to distribution is influenced by the seasonality of the business. First quarter is winter in Czech Republic and demand for electricity is significantly higher than in second or third quarter. It's nothing surprising to us, it's a result of seasonality.
No, I understand that, but I mean, if I look at the numbers, in the second quarter you had an EBITDA this year of 1.7 billion. Last year, in the second quarter, you had an EBITDA of 2.3 billion. in distribution, just from your press release. It's quite a big drop.
In the meantime, I'll address the other questions. First of all, July power prices. Yes, we were long most of the time. Plus, we benefited from an exceptional situation where the Polish grid, against, I would say, even the regulation of the grid code, closed exports from Poland altogether, not just the day-ahead market, but basically failed to acknowledge contracts signed on a month-ahead and year-ahead basis. So zero imports from Poland, plenty of capacity to sell to Germany, and some reserve power we had, so we had good times in July.
Okay.
Your other question, retail prices, less than last year. I heard that comment as well, came from the Prime Minister. I don't think it's, first of all, it is more an interpretation of the wholesale price auction, because last year we have seen a similar relation. There is some 16% price increase and 9% increase in the household tariffs, with special pressure on the distribution tariffs due to one-off unbundling costs. Now, if you deduct that, you actually see that it's very likely that end user prices will be with the 17% price increase, if it prevails, still below the increase of last year. That all is to be seen in November, when regulated tariffs will be added to the commercial tariffs published by the suppliers, and we see the total difference to last year. But I would also subscribe to the statement that it's very likely that these prices will be below the gross levels versus last year.
Okay.
On the CO2 side, we have to kind of look into the P&L a bit more detail, but there are two types of transactions that you will find there for the time being. One is the mark-to-market of forward contracts, where we are selling our allocated credits. The other type of transaction is linked to our Polish acquisition, where we bought their extra CO2 credits on spot basis for one price, and then we also sold them on a forward basis, and these two positions are booked in two places, and therefore this generates negative impact on one side, slightly positive impact on the other side. The real result will be actually seen again only at the end of the year, where basically all these mark-to-market accounting will turn into a real revenue from sold credit. So the real benefit is actually the 2 billion CO2 times an average price achieved. That's the result for last year, minus some extra costs. These extra costs are things like investment into the technological improvements and measurement systems, a dispatch of more expensive plants, or lost opportunity in sale of power at this power to CO2 arbitrage when we sell CO2 instead of power. Without selling the CO2, we'll still make some money on the power side, but less than what we make on the CO2. That's the type of thinking to apply when setting the upside from extra CO2.
And back your question to distribution. At first, we have to say that distribution 2005 and distribution 2006 are not fully comparable entities, because of in 2006, for 2006, we created a special process-oriented company for distribution and sales from previous regional distribution companies which had additional activities. We moved them to different companies like Czech Data for ICT and other. It means 2005 is influenced by activities which are not directly related to the distribution. Part of this drop would be a growing trend of renewables, which will be repaid after 1 year to charges coming from regulated business.
Okay. Thank you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would still like to ask a question at this time, press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. To cancel this question, it will be the hash for the pound key. We have no further questions, sir.
Okay, great. Thank you all very much for participating in the conference call. If you have any further follow-up questions, do not hesitate to give us a call or send an email. And we will obviously try to follow up on a few key themes that we picked up from your questions, and we'll get in touch with you directly. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.